Let's take our Bibles this morning and go to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Now, we were talking before the service, Pastor Holbrook and I, and he said, do you understand this announcement about the live stream? And I said, no, I don't get it. And he said, well, I don't even know how to make the announcement. And I said, well, get Pastor Brian to do it. And so we got Pastor Brian to do it. Now, be honest, how many of you understood anything about that? You did? Well, God bless you, because Rick and I were sitting here going, what? I don't get it. I just don't get it. But anyway, there's going to be a change, all right? The live stream was bought out by Vimeo or something like that. And so now it's about twice as expensive as it was. More than that? More than twice? Oh, man. All right. Well, anyway. Don't forget to tithe, all right? Don't forget to tithe. That'd be real good. All right, let's begin. Also, did you hear we had a bird in the auditorium this morning? Now, how in the world did a bird get in here? I don't know. But I think he realized real quickly when people started coming in that he was out of place. And Pastor Holbrook went over and just opened the door, and like a good little obedient bird, he flew right out. So it's good we didn't have to dodge a sparrow this morning, wasn't it? Anyway. All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 29, Exodus 34, and verse 29. And you follow along as I read. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack right in front of you. But look, please, if you will, at verse 29. It says, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not. Now, that's not a word we use today, but we would understand it like he did not know, all right? He did not know. He wist not, did not know. He did not know, wist not, that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. All right, now let that sink into you. Moses has been 40 days up on the mountain with God. 40 days. And when he came down off the mountain, his face was glowing. He was radiating the glory of God. And he did not know it. All right, so look at verse 30. It says, and when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. All right, so Moses took, what do you call that, N95? Is that what? All right, he took an N95 and covered his face. All right, now you say, well, why did he do that? Well, look at verse 34. It says, but when Moses went before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went to speak with him. All right, now, I want to use these verses this morning, and I want to entitle my message this morning, "We All Need a Shiny Face." All right, we all need a shiny face. Let's pray. Father, we ask now your richest blessings to be upon us as we open your eternal word. And Father, I pray you'll bless the word of God to our hearts today. Help us to listen carefully, to listen intently. And Father, may the Holy Spirit of God just move and work in our hearts and draw each one of us into a closer walk of fellowship. And I pray that you'll be lifted up this morning. And as you are lifted up, that all men will be drawn to you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Moses had been up on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was up there receiving the law from the Lord. Now, you certainly remember the story as it was told to us by Moses, how when the 40 days were up, he came down from the mountain. And when he came down from the mountain, he had the word of God written on two tablets of stone. And those two tablets were written by the very finger of God himself. And when he came into the camp of the Israelites, now this is the first time this happened previously in the book of Exodus. When he came into the camp of the Israelites, you remember they were dancing naked and partying around a golden calf. Some of the people thought that Moses had gone up there and perhaps died. 40 days is a long time to be away. And they thought that he went up on the mountain. And of course, you remember when he did, the Shekinah, the glory cloud, came and hovered over the mountain, and they could not see Moses. And so they were afraid that he had died up there. So they came to Aaron. By the way, tradition says that they came to Hur first, Moses and Aaron's brother. They came to Hur, H-U-R, first, and he refused to do what they were wanting him to do. Now, what were they wanting him to do? Well, they were wanting him to build them a calf. You say, well, why a calf? Well, that's what they learned in Egypt. All right? That was a god that they worshipped while they were in Egypt. And so they wanted a golden calf, and Hur told them no. And the tradition goes on to say that because he said no, they killed him. And that's why Aaron was so quick to agree when they came to Aaron and said, all right, big boy, your turn. Build us a calf or we're going to kill you too. Now, I don't know if that's true. We'll find out one of these days when we get to heaven. But the tradition that goes along with this story. And so you may wonder, why did Aaron go along with this? Well, it could have been that his life was at stake, and he kind of enjoyed life, and so he chose sin over truth. And if that's the case, then shame on him, right? Amen, Pastor. That's good. All right, so Moses comes down off the mountain, and he saw them dancing around the golden calf that they had fashioned from gold that they had taken off of their bodies, off of their ears and their wrists and so on and so forth, gold that was given to them by the Egyptians so they would leave. Moses then came down, saw that, took the two tablets and broke them in a symbolic way broke them, showing that they had broken the law of God in a major way. All right, so after judging them, and you can read about the judgment in chapter 32, after judging them, then Moses went back up to the top of Mount Sinai and spent another 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord. And the Lord gave him another set of tablets, what we call the Ten Commandments, that were written with the Lord's own finger. And then after 40 days, Moses comes back to be with the people once again. Now, that's where we are in the story here. And when he came to the people, verse 29 tells us that Moses wist not, he did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. He did not know that he was shining. His face was glowing with the glory of God. Now, don't forget where he has been. He has been for 40 days and 40 nights upon the mountain, Mount Sinai, at the top of it, in the Shekinah cloud, in the glory cloud. And so after 40 days, he comes down and his face was shining. Now, we all know that Moses has been called the meekest man in the Bible. And that meekness is clearly displayed here as his face was shining after him being in the presence of God for 40 days and nights, and yet he didn't even know it. Now, there are only two men in the Bible, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. There are only two men that we are told, where we are told that their faces did shine. Moses here in verse 29, and then Stephen in the New Testament in the book of Acts in chapter 7, that his face shone as he was being stoned to death. And he looked up to heaven and saw the Lord Jesus standing. You say, well, I thought the Lord, when he went back to heaven, took a seat. Yeah, he did. He sits at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and for me. But I think when Stephen stood so strongly and so boldly as he was about to die, the Lord Jesus stood welcoming him into heaven. Good job. Job well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so two men whose face did shine. Moses in verse 29, Old Testament. Stephen in the book of Acts in chapter 7. And both of these men were meek and humble servants of God. Now, I want to speak to you this morning on the shining face of Moses and then make some application to us sitting right here this morning. Let me ask a couple of questions here and hopefully answer those questions for you for the message this morning. First of all, why did the face of Moses shine? Well, his face was shining as the result of an answer to prayer. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, go back to Exodus 33 for just a moment. Exodus 33. And let me show you something here that is amazing, I think. But look at chapter 33, and let's look down at verse 18. It says, and he said, I beseech thee. So this is Moses now speaking to God. All right. Moses speaking to God. And he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Amen. Do you see that? Show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, God said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Isn't that amazing? So here is Moses praying, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And God said to him, Moses, I cannot do that. You cannot see my glory and live. You cannot look into my face and live. My glory would kill you instantly. And folks, that Shekinah, that glory, is that powerful. It is that powerful. Our God is the Almighty God. And we need to realize that God was serious when he told Moses that could not happen. That God could not answer this request fully and stand face to face with Moses, which was what he really was wanting God to do. And he explains why in that 20th verse. No man can see me and live. Now, what's John 1:18 say? Well, for the sake of time, I'm not going to have you turn there, but this verse will be familiar when I quote it for you. The Bible says there, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he, the Son, hath declared him. All right? So what did God do? Well, he put Moses in the clift of the rock, a little dugout spot. And as he came, he took his hand and covered the face of Moses so that he could not see into God's face. And then when he got past, he took the hand away, and Moses saw the essence, the glory trail, not full on. But he got an idea of the majesty and the splendor and the glory that is God. Once he went past, he removed his hand, allowing Moses to see his back. And of course, 1400 years later, that prayer would be answered as the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, was born in Bethlehem's manger. So the question is then, why did Moses' face shine when he came down from the mountain? Well, I think there are two reasons. First of all, it was a reflection of God's glory. It was a reflection of God's glory. You remember back in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve disobeyed and sinned against God? And the rabbis taught, they believed and they taught that and this is, when I say the rabbi, I'm talking about from the intertestamental period on, all right? I'm not talking about last week, okay? I'm talking about the rabbinical writings. Now, I don't have the rabbinical writings, but I have access to them on the web. And every now and then, I get brave and go read them. You know, it's like It's like reading an encyclopedia. Okay, it is dry as cracker juice. All right, if you get my drift, it's dry. But there's a wealth of information in all of that. And they taught that when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they lost their glow. Their glow. Think about that. I mean, you look at ancient paintings, you look at old paintings, and you see the saints of God with a glow around them. How did Adam and Eve know? They said they heard God coming and they hid themselves because they were afraid. What were they afraid of? The rabbi said, oh, they were afraid because they lost their glow. They knew that they were naked. Their glow was their covering. And they lost their glow. Think about that. And so I don't know if all that's true. I've tried to find it in the Bible and it's not there, but boy, it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, don't forget, folks, John tells us that God is light. And we, just like Moses, when we spend time with the Lord, we reflect the glory of the Savior. The light of our Savior radiates from our being. All right? In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5:14-16, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And folks, I'm telling you, Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of the Shekinah, in the presence of the glory of God. And he asked God, let me see your glory. Let me see it. God said, you can't see all of it. I'll let you see the hinder parts. I'll let you see as I pass by, but you cannot look into my face. Folks, can you imagine how grand and glorious it's going to be when we get to heaven and get to look into the face of our Savior? Oh, my goodness. I mean, words cannot express. We think about, oh, I can't wait to see my mom or my dad or my wife or my husband. I can't wait to see my child that passed away. I can't wait to see the Apostle Paul or Abraham or Isaac. Wait a minute. I'll guarantee you the first one you're going to see when you get to heaven is your Savior sitting upon the throne of God as if he is God because he is God. That's who you're going to see. And that's going to be worth it all. Then you're going to look back at the day you got saved and rejoice and praise God for 1,000 years before you ever take a breath. Mercy. What a God we serve, folks. What a God we serve. And Moses spent all that time up there with the Lord. So when he came down, his face reflected God's glory, the light. For God is light. Now, folks, listen, should we not shine in the valley? I mean, he was up on the mountain, he came down in the valley and his face was glowing. It scared the people. It scared the people. They said, Moses, you're going to have to cover your face. We're scared to death. We've never seen anything like this before. And so Moses covered his face so he could be near the people. All right, the second reason, it was a result of his fellowship with the Lord. Oh, just imagine spending 40 days and nights being in constant fellowship with the Lord. Did he sleep while he was up there? I don't know that he would have needed to. You're with God. You're in God's presence. I don't know. It doesn't say, but I just was reading this and all kinds of questions came to my mind. Did God feed him? I mean, you're up on Mount Sinai. There's nothing up there but rocks. Did God feed him like he did Elijah? I don't know. Does not say. But I'm telling you, he spent 40 days and nights fellowshipping with God. He was alone and in constant fellowship with the Lord. Now you think about it, folks. When the sun came up in the morning, Moses was fellowshipping with God. When the day lingered on and on and on, Moses was fellowshipping with God. As the sun settled and went down in the west, Moses was still fellowshipping with God. When the moon came up and shined, reflected the glory of the sun down upon the earth, in that dim glimmer of moonlight, Moses was still fellowshipping with the Lord. And he did so day one, day two, day three, day four, right on to 40 days and 40 nights. What would the result of that be? Well, let me tell you something, Christian. I think if you were just to take we have lives, we work, I understand that. But should you take your Bible and just get alone and pray and read your Bible and seek the face of God, I'll guarantee you after 40 days of that, you're going to be a different person. I mean, I think that there's going to be a radiant glow about you as well. And so here was Moses, and he was in constant fellowship for 40 long, wonderful days. What must be the effect of such wholehearted, undisturbed fellowship? Well, I'm telling you, folks, it's no wonder the face of Moses was shining. After spending 40 days and nights in the presence of the Lord, I would have been shocked had his face not been glowing with the Shekinah glory of God. Oh, I wish that someone here this morning would just catch a vision of dwelling on the mountain in fellowship with the Lord, that we would just grab our Bible and just sit down and spend some time seeking fellowship with our Lord. And when we remember to take the Bible and read it, listen, we get those devotional guides, and you know, I put them out, or I allow them to be put out. You know, but if that's a substitute for you reading your Bible, we'll never put out another one. Don't let that be the substitute for you reading your Bible. All right? Spend time with God. Spend time with God. All for nights of prayer. All for entering into the prayer closet and grabbing a hold of the horns of the altar and then spending quality time in prayer with God under the shadow of the Almighty. Now listen, folks, I'm not going to tell you that your face is going to literally shine like the face of Moses did, but I am telling you that your power with God is going to change. It's going to show. Our faces may not glow like the face of Moses did, but our lives will be lit up with sunshine. That's S-O-N, shine. Amen. Second thing. Second question, what was he doing that brought about this shining? What was he doing? What was Moses doing? Well, I think that when he was up on that mountain the second time, I think that Moses was up there making intercession for the children of Israel. Now, folks, don't forget that just prior to this, they were down there worshiping a golden calf. Don't forget that. And now here's Moses. Listen, God was angry. God said, get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to kill them all. Get out of the way. Moses stood between God and the people and interceded. And I think when he went back up on the mountain, he was begging God. He was interceding for the people below. There is no, there. Listen, 40-day period. They were going into idolatry. 40 days. And then they said when they got the calf done, these be our gods, O Israel. So Moses, when he went back up on the mountain, he went up to ask God to spare the people and begging God not to wipe them off the face of the planet. Moses was up there pleading for the people. Let me tell you something, folks. God loves intercessory prayer. The Bible admonishes us, pray for one another. That's what intercession means. You are interceding for someone else. You are stepping between God and someone else and asking God's blessing upon this person. That's intercessory prayer. Oh, how we need to pray for one another. When we are praying for one another, we're acting like the Savior. That's what our Savior did. He went alone many times in the Gospels, you'll read. And he went up into a high mountain to pray. And he went apart to pray. While the others slept, he's praying. That's intercession. That's intercession. But secondly, first of all, he was up there making intercession. But secondly, Moses was receiving the word of God from the mouth of God. Wow. You know who's the author of this book, folks? All scripture is given by what? Of whom? Of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God baptized you into the family? That's a spiritual baptism. You were baptized of the Holy Ghost. And that identifies you as a member of the family. Now, who's the author of this book? The Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit live? Hey, folks, who better to explain to you and show you and teach you the Bible than the one who wrote it? Doesn't that make sense? If I had Dr. Smith here this morning, and he said out the book table are several books that I've written. All right, so if I go out there and I get one of those books, and I open one of those books and I'm reading it, and I say, good grief, what's he saying there? Well, I could go down here and ask Brother Schaefer, what's Dr. Smith saying here? Brother Schaefer looks at me and says, your guess is as good as mine. I don't get that. And I say, well, wait a minute. Dr. Smith's here. I'll just go ask him. So I walk over and say, hey, Doc, what do you mean by this? And he says, oh, well, you missed this point up here, didn't you? And I read that point, and he said, now, this is, in light of that point, this is what I was saying. And he explains it to me. I see it now. I see it now. Well, folks, who better to teach you the Word of God than the author? I mean, there's not even an argument about that. God gave Moses the Word so that he could then give it to the people. You see, folks, there is no greater light for us to give others than prayer and fasting, which result in abiding fellowship with God, and which result in being connected to the Word of God and God teaching us His Word. Oh, it's amazing what's in this book. And then lastly, why did Moses wear the veil? Well, I think for two reasons. First, he wore it out of concern, tender concern for the people. Now, don't forget what kind of guy Moses was. He was not thinking of himself. When he realized that his face was shining and it scared the people, he willingly veiled his face. It was not a big deal to him. It was not about him. It was about the Lord and the people being right with the Lord. And you know, he was more concerned for the children of Israel than he was for himself. He veiled his face so that he could get closer to the people. I mean, they knew that Moses represented God. He had just come down from 40 days and 40 nights. People's face simply doesn't glow. There has to be a reason. You either get sunburned, all right, you see what I'm saying? Your face does not just automatically glow. Something has to happen for your face to glow. 40 days and 40 nights, he's up on the mountain. They look up to the top of the mountain and they see the cloud over top of it. They say, no sun shining up there. And yet Moses comes down off the mountain, his face is glowing. Wow, they knew that he had been in touch with God. They knew. And so Moses represented the Lord, and they were afraid because of that very reason. Then, second, it was a judicial symbol showing the sentence of God on the people. It was a judicial symbol. Let me explain to you what I mean. You see, folks, the people's hearts, think with me now, the people's hearts were veiled. They were veiled. They were veiled because of their sin. You see, they did not, and I could say they could not, stand to see the glory of God revealed in Moses. Even as a light upon the face of Moses. His face shining reminded them of the one who caused it to shine. And it brought back the memory of just 40 days ago when they were bowing before a false god, an idol. And there's Moses with the law of God in his hand. And what does that law say? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I wonder if Moses just walked around holding them up. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But you see, Moses had to veil himself because it reminded them, his glow reminded them of their own sinfulness and wickedness. Now, allow me to illustrate this point. Right here in my left hand is the Bible. How many times have I stood behind this pulpit in 28 years, held this thing up and said, this is God's eternal, infallible, preserved word? How many times have I said that? Many, many, many times. You got that right. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. You have heard me say, what a wonderful, blessed old book is this. What a book. But, you know, there's a lot of folks that they don't get excited when I say that. Their heart is veiled. You know? Now, if you're in the book, hang on. Don't get mad at me. But if you're in the book, and I stand here and hold this old black book up and say, this is the infallible word of God. Amen. Man, you ought to shout. You ought to shout. But a lot of folks don't get excited when I preach on that. Why? Well, you got a veil on the Bible. You got a veil over it. You can't see its glory. You see where I'm going? That's something to think about, isn't it? Here's the great wonderful matter of prayer. And when I preach on prayer, you'll look around the auditorium. Boy, some folks are just glowing with excitement. You know why? Because they are on their faces praying daily for their kids, for their church, for their pastors. They're praying. They are prayer warriors. But when I preach on the matter of prayer, there's some other folks that, you know, it just, they miss it. Why? Well, prayer is veiled to them. It's a strange concept. Here's a matter of soul winning. Here's the matter of a sermon on heaven. Man, a sermon on heaven ought to get everybody going. You know, here's a sermon on the second coming of Christ. That ought to get everybody going. Now listen, church, you mark my word, when you come to the house of God and you hear the gospel or any other kind of Bible message, your heart should be stirred. If it is not stirred, you must conclude that you have a veil that is keeping your face from shining. I guess the point is, Christian, walk with God. Fellowship with the Lord. Hang around the Lord until His glory radiates itself in you. And then go out and let your light shine for the glory of God. You see, folks, you're the only Bible some folks are ever going to see. There are a lot of folks that are never going to sit down and read this Bible. You're the only Bible they're going to see. That's why we need to let our light shine. That's why we need to let our light shine. What does the world see when it looks at you? Well, I submit to you that it will be one of two things. Number one, they'll see a reflection of themselves, or they'll see a reflection of God's glory. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father in heaven, speak to our hearts this morning. Draw us to yourself this morning. As we sit here on the cusp of a new year, there are so many things that enter into our minds. What's this year going to hold? And Father, one thing we ought to say is, I'm going to start this year in fellowship with my God. And I'm going to walk with the Lord. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. I'm just going to serve the Lord this year. So, Father, touch our hearts with that. And I pray you'll speak to every heart this morning and just draw each one of us closer to you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.